Aho. This is Joy and Ann from Australia in Kigali. Welcome to the GCN Show.
Welcome to the GCN Show.
Coming up this week, the UCI have unbanned stuff. Some stuff. Anyway, is it a positive step? And what will the future look like now?
Plus, gravel bikes have officially gone full circle. Andrew Feather is quaking in his boots at some fresh competition and why 28% more Londoners are now considering cycling. This week in the world of cycling, we learnt that Trek are the first major brand to release a full suspension gravel bike since Niner did it 6 years ago, and they're now defunct MCR. Will the checkout catch on though?
I am excited for it, Dan. I love the MCR. I liked Cannondale's old Topstone that I rode. If this has similar vibes, then I'm here for it.
Maybe you'll get to ride one sign.
Maybe.
We also learned that in spite of naming 100 favourites for the Women's World Road Race Championships, I unfortunately failed to name the eventual winner, Magdalene Valieres, who it turns out is now Canada's first ever World Road Champion.
Call yourself a pro, yeah.
Unbelievable scenes.
Yeah. And we learned as well that Tadej Pogačar's case for being the greatest of all time is getting stronger. He has now become the first man to have two consecutive seasons where he's won the World Championships in the same year as winning the Tour de France.
Although it was just the 66-kilometre solo breakaway this time, so
it was, yeah. And we also learned that Remco Evenepoel, he's still got his football skills.
He has.
Hasn't he? After he drop-kicked a water bottle in frustration and disappointment.
I wonder whether that might have hurt him a little bit.
I think it might
have
hurt.
Quite the kick.
It was, yeah. Now, broadly speaking, the World Championships as a whole was a huge success. It was notable for being the first time the Road World Championships has taken place in Africa. The only criticism, really, was the fact that the course was a bit tough.
Too hard.
Yeah. But you know what? Every now and then, I think that's fine, right? Some of the most legendary World Championships have also been the hardest. Lugano, 96.
I feel like most of our viewers might not know about Lugano, 96. And if they do, it'll probably be for the Lugano Charter rather than the racing from 1996.
That's a fair point. And for those of you who don't know what the Lugano Charter is, well, I don't blame you. But it was when the UCI, so cycling's governing body, decided to ban everything. So prior to that, we'd had this period of increasingly outrageous bikes, the Lotus, the Pinarello Sword. They were sort of fueling a tech arms race. And then there was a meeting of officials in Lugano and...
Yeah. Now, since then, a lot of big meetings seem to happen at the World Championships. And so it was this year as well. Particularly, those meetings seem to be about equipment these days, don't they? As they were in 96. The world waited then with bated breath for what the outcomes of this year's meetings would be. What delights were going to happen this time?
Well, we can rejoice because there is no Kigali Charter, is there? And in fact, what's made the headlines is that the UCI has backpedaled.
Oh, pun intended.
Yes, yes, of course.
Nice one, Si. This rule reversal relates to handlebar width. Now, I'm sure you're going to remember earlier on in this year in June that the UCI were seeking to ban really narrow handlebars. And this was to try to prevent super aero positions and therefore try to reduce the speed of the peloton.
Yeah, now the outcome was that lots of smaller riders, particularly women, would have to use wider handlebars than they do currently in order to comply with this new rule, in spite of it then not being correct anatomically, so from a bike fit perspective.
I think if you take one look at Yanville and Van Schip, you can see what the UCI were trying to do, can't you? The unintended consequence, though, was discriminating against those smaller riders.
Yeah. Now, when you were out at the Men's Tour de France this year, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't you find that most of the Men's Tour de France bike actually broke that proposed new rule?
Ready for 2026, yeah. Well, it was slightly more interesting, I would say, than that. Almost all of them broke the rule for the minimum width between the brake hoods, as it was set, which is supposed to be 320 millimetres, and yet almost all conform to the minimum overall width of 400 millimetres, which is measured edge to edge at the end of the drops.
So basically, the rule didn't actually make sense.
Not really.
Did it? And then judging from the UCI's press release, I think possibly they worked that out too. So I quote, "Following further consultation with cycling stakeholders, including representatives of the cycling industry, findings from extensive verifications of current dimensions used for bikes at the UCI Women's World Tour and UCI World Tour events, and work carried out by the UCI Equipment and New Technologies Commission, the measurements were reviewed."
I'm not sure that you needed to specify you were quoting, so I think people could have worked that out. But they went and did their homework, really, the UCI, didn't they?
Basically, yeah, they did. They did their homework after making a new rule.
And
yeah.
So now the minimum inner width of the hoods will be 280 millimetres.
Yeah. I mean, it is slightly worrying, isn't it, that the International Governing Body for Cycling made a rule, then went out with a tape measure.
Well, I went out with a tape measure. Maybe just watched the video.
Basically, they went out with a tape measure after having watched you go out with a tape measure to see if their new rule would work. And then, you know, I mean, I suppose the good thing is that they have at least changed their minds.
Well, yeah, we got to give something to the UCI, don't we?
Yeah.
What they've doubled down on, though, Si, is banning time trial helmets in road races.
Woohoo! Yes. I think we can all agree that this is just a good thing.
Well, I certainly agree, yeah. The rules aren't terribly clear at the moment, but visors and ear flaps have been banned.
Rightly so.
And a minimum level of ventilation has been specified as well, although not specified enough to really know exactly what it is.
No. Maybe they need to get their tape measures out.
Probably should do, shouldn't they?
Yeah. Or hair dryers, actually. That would work out.
They will need to be pretty sure, I think, on this occasion, won't they?
Because well.
This, of course, comes under the spectre of the UCI currently being sued by the component manufacturer SRAM for effectively banning 10-tooth sprockets, at least for a trial period later on this season.
Yeah. Now, I'm sure this is all very serious and everything, but it sounds blooming stupid, doesn't it? Firstly, the UCI trying to restrict gearing in order to limit speed, and then SRAM saying that it would take them years to re-engineer their group sets in order to comply with the new ruling.
I'm no engineer, so I don't think you are either.
No.
But surely making a cassette with an 11-tooth sprocket should be days and not years.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Dan. I'm no engineer, but I can use Google. I had a look. I could buy one off AliExpress for £17.46 and it'll be here next week.
Very nice. We've said it before, but we're going to say it again now, aren't we?
Yes.
We think it must be bloody hard being the UCI. Yeah. But then sometimes they just don't seem to help themselves, do they?
No, but then I suppose you will never please everyone all the time, right? And making road racing safer, which is top of their agenda, is probably unimaginably tough.
Yeah.
I do feel like they're not really grasping the nettle here.
Tyres. I'd say tyres. They could fix it all with them.
Yep.
So like in F1, just have one tyre sponsor for all the teams so that all riders have to use the same tyre. And that way you can engineer them to have whatever rolling resistance they need in order to limit speeds by, say, a couple of k's an hour.
However much you want, yeah. It could be so effective that they could even go back to wearing time trial helmets and using Jan Willemband Chip handlebars. Yeah. Although you said that there was a potential issue with that and that would also disproportionately affect smaller riders.
Well, I don't have the engineering background, just to reiterate that, but a couple of the riders I've spoken to...
There's going to be one or two people going, oh, I'm really disappointed. I thought Dan was an engineer.
Yeah. I've spoken to a couple of riders about the safety issues, and I've spoken to David Lapartio, actually, as well, for a forthcoming video. And both riders said that one of the problems that they thought might occur with a standard tyre with more rolling resistance is it might hinder and slow down smaller riders more so than it does do with the larger ones. But at the same time, we already have a UCI rule in place, the minimum bike limit of 6.8 kilograms, which effectively does that anyway, because 6.8 kilograms is obviously, even though I'm no engineer, Si, a higher percentage of someone that weighs 50 kilograms than somebody that weighs 90.
I don't think you need an engineering qualification for that one, do you? No, to be fair, I don't actually know what effect weight has on rolling resistance. But yeah, I mean, you'd have thought it would go up proportionally, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, the tyres does feel like a more simple way of slowing the peloton down that would be guaranteed as well. The problem that cycling always has is there's so many of those stakeholders at the UCI press release that you so eloquently read out stated, Si.
Yeah.
So you've obviously got the riders and you've got the teams and you've got the team sponsors, which includes tyre sponsors and all the other equipment as well. Then you've got the race organisation and you've got the UCI and then you've got this safer. There's so many different pieces of the pie and everyone wants to cling onto their piece, have their say, and there's never a point where everybody agrees.
No. But I tell you what, I'd enjoy seeing the bidding process for who would be the global tyre sponsor for World Tour Racing. Imagine that.
I'd imagine the teams, based on their recent disqualification from the Tour de Romandy Women's for not adhering to the GPS rule that they tried to insist them had there. The team's worry would be that the sponsorship money from said tyre brand would go to the UCI and not to the teams.
I mean, that would also be my concern as well. But, you know...
I mean, great news, guys. We've sold a big sponsorship deal to Pirelli. How much do we make? Oh, no, we're we're having that money.
Yeah, basically. Well, anyway, what do you think? Let us know in the comment section down below. I actually don't know what I think the future holds. I suspect we'll just muddle along as we are now. Every now and then something will get banned.
Mm. Well, I don't want to give away too much from that video that I worked on, but my fear is that until a really big name rider has a fatality in a bike race, then not a lot will change.
No.
So from that point of view, let's hope it doesn't.
No. All right. We'll get involved in the comment section down below.
And now it's time for Cycling Shorts.
Cycling Shorts now. We're going to come back to the news that Tadej Pogačar has become the first rider in history to win the Tour de France and the World Road Race Championships for 2 years in succession.
You might call that news, Si, but it doesn't exactly come as surprising.
No.
So Pogačar rode away with 105Ks to go with two trade teammates, Juan Ayuso of Spain and Isaac Del Toro of Mexico. But they both got dropped, so Pogačar was forced to go on a 66K solo raid.
As you do.
As you do.
But whilst that wasn't a surprise, the result in the women's race very much was.
It was.
According
it was a
to Dan.
Massive surprise.
Yes. Magdalene Valliere got herself up the road in a group, and with the main favourites all frankly just looking at each other behind, they were never caught.
No. Valliere's. She'd only had one professional road race win before last week.
Wow.
And now she's world champion. I mean, how cool is that?
Yeah. To think that you and her had something in common last week. I mean, and then now,
what
unfortunately
could have
not.
Been? I mean, I only got the opportunity to do the Road Worlds once.
Yeah.
Maybe if I'd got a second time, history would have been very different for
Yeah, you had the same number of victories and now she's got double. Mm. So anyway, there we go. Not many endurance sports throw up surprises like that, do they?
No, well, that's the great thing about cycling, isn't it? There is still, at least in some races, a degree of tactics.
Yeah.
Pogačar's involved.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, also of note, at the Worlds last week, was the first ever British winner. The first ever British winner, I should say, of the Junior Men's World Championships. So congratulations to Harry Hudson for that one.
That was great news and big news, wasn't it? But
it was.
Alex Paton seemed way more excited that he'd won that race on a direct-to-consumer Chinese brand.
Yeah.
As you'd expect, he and Ollie are going to go into great detail on exactly what Harry used on this week's GCN Tech Show and question what it might mean, if anything, for the future of the sport.
Yeah. Now, as a bit of context, Hudson finished 1 second behind Andrew Feather at last year's British National Hill Climb Championships. So 1 year on, he might have gone through puberty by now. Mm. Maybe it'll be the end of Andrew Feather's era. I mean, technically Feather got beaten last year anyway, didn't he? Yeah. But you know what I mean.
Well, it's going to be the end of Feather's era anyway.
Why is that?
Because I am competing at the National Hill Climb Champs this year, so. I'm actually unbeaten in my last one hill climb.
Oh, really?
Yep.
When was that?
That was 2008 in October.
Nice. Well, good luck, mate. You show Andrew how it's done.
I will do.
Okay, and Harry as well. Sock it to him. Now, we're going to move on to a cyclist who was in Rwanda, as opposed to you, Dan. So, Ellie Mitchell-Heggs, back in May, she set off from Kigali on a 10,000-kilometre ride to Cape Town in South Africa.
Now, for those of you who are particularly familiar with the geography there, you'll know you can do it in far less than 10,000 kilometres. But Ellie is taking in a number of detours along the way as she visits local development organisations in a number of countries, which include Uganda, Tanzania, Mozambique, Zimbabwe and Namibia.
Yeah, at the same time, she's raising funds for Plan International and Global Giving. So she's now just short of 6,000Ks through her ride. And if you would like to follow or support her, we will put a link to her Instagram page in the description below.
Great stuff. And we're going to stick with epic rides, actually. A tree surgeon from Liverpool, Josh Reed, recently quit his job and he set off on a 3-year, 40,000-kilometre ride around the world.
Yeah, now to be clear, he wasn't a cyclist before starting this. He simply bought a bike for his adventure. And you know what? He's got an attitude to it that I cannot help but admire. So I'm going to quote directly.
Oh, another quote, sir.
Yeah, I'm going to choose a different voice this time. Unfortunately, I can't do a Liverpudlian accent.
No.
So fitness-wise, not really asked about that. We'll just get fit on the road. We've got loads of time. 3 years to do that.
Like you say, it's hard to argue with that statement, really, isn't it?
Can you do a Liverpudlian accent?
No, I can't do any accents, sir.
It's a tough one to get.
I've got lots of skills, but accents and engineering are not amongst them. Anyway.
Nor predicting winners of the women's road race. No.
Yeah, nor cycling stuff. Anyway, good luck to Josh. All right, some news from Switzerland now in what is loosely cycling related, I would say. So Zurich has introduced parking charges that are dependent on the weight of your vehicle.
Out of context, that's bloody boring, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it might continue to be.
Well, no, I think it's interesting, okay? So there will be separate charges based on whether the car is electric or conventionally fueled. But it seems like a decent move, doesn't it? Because parking is something something that people consider to be a right as opposed to a privilege. And it does feel like we are getting increasingly large cars in cities that are not designed to cope with them.
That is true. I was also reading that in Zurich, you're only allowed to get a parking permit if you literally can't find anywhere to rent a private parking spot in like an underground car park or something. So they're doing some good things.
Yeah.
It was a bit boring, wasn't it?
Well, I mean,
we'll move on.
Let us know in the comment section whether you like weekly parking news.
Anyway, you'll no doubt remember we've also been banging on about the tube strikes in London for the last couple of weeks on the GCN show. Well, Si,
more
a recent poll
news
by Lime Bikes and YouGov has actually found that 28% of Londoners are now more likely to cycle after those strikes.
Yeah, so there is a difference between likely to and will cycle,
true,
obviously.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt that being forced to find alternative modes of transport at that time have been an eye-opener to a lot of people and shown just how efficient a bike can be. It also helped that it was sunny that week.
That it did help when it took place, didn't it? But yeah, there's a bit of a misconception or misunderstanding, I think, about how far it is between tube stops. Most people massively overestimate that distance, don't they? And can't quite believe how quick it is to ride or even walk between some of those tube stops.
Yeah. You know, having just got back from Denmark,
on your jolly?
It was a real jolly. Oh, my God. Me and Ollie Bridgewood have had just the best week.
During work time?
It was work.
Is my Swifting, so.
Anyway, but it was it, what was one of the things that was so striking there was the approach to cycling just for transport. And we'll go into it in more detail at some other point, I'm sure. But what struck me was that there wasn't any kind of like magic recipe to bike paths. You know, this whole thing about like, oh, well, in Denmark, the bike paths are like, you know, like a lot of the time the bike path was just being shared on a pavement. It was just that people there, like there was just a different state of mind, a different attitude about it. Yeah. Oh my goodness me. It was amazing. And the best coffee. Also, I don't know, I'll leave it there.
Okay. All right. Carry on then.
I saw an otter.
Oh.
Yeah. In the middle of a town whilst having coffee.
I had an otter in my back garden once.
Did you?
Yeah, I've got a video of it. I'll send it to Stefan, the editor, he can put it in now.
Dan's garden otter. Right, back to cycling now. Another thing you might remember us talking about from a couple of weeks ago. So this is actually quite serious,
it is.
Isn't it? Sofiane Sahili is an ultra-distance legend of a cyclist who was poised to break the record for riding across Eurasia before he was detained in Russia at the border with China.
Unfortunately, the latest news is not as positive as you'd hope for because he is still being detained. So he's got a Russian lawyer now who has appealed his arrest, and she is hopeful that her request for him to be moved to a detention place that doesn't involve him being in isolation will be successful.
That's absolutely savage, isn't it? And now Russian authorities have said that he will remain in custody until at least the 4th of October. According to those that have been in contact with him, he is in a positive spirit, despite his ordeal. But I mean, that sounds absolutely horrendous.
Oh, it does. It really does. So our thoughts are with Sofiane, and we'll keep you updated on any news as and when we see it. Some racing news now, and there's rising pressure for Israel Premier Tech to change their name. So last week, Factor, obviously their bike sponsor, requested a full rebranding of the team, saying that it had become too controversial to continue the relationship in its current form.
Yeah, and then following suit, the title sponsor, Premier Tech, have also demanded a name change, saying that the current situation with the team name is no longer sustainable.
And then to add to that mounting pressure, the team's actually just been excluded from the Giro dell'Emilia this week, with race organisers there saying it had done so to protect the safety of the public.
Yeah, now, team owner, the Canadian billionaire Sylvain Adams, has always been adamant that he's not going to change anything. But the way things are going, he doesn't feel like he's going to have much choice.
Well, now, as you said, a lot of mounting pressure, really, so it'll be interesting to see what decision he makes.
Yeah.
Right, we are going to finish Cycling Shorts with another Zwift Racing League update. Last week, we established that Connor's team had done a little bit better than my team, albeit in a far less competitive category. But we've turned the tables this week, Si.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So Connor's team only finished 8th out of 10, leaving them 6th overall, whilst my team finished 4th out of 8.
Mid-pack.
Well, mid-pack, yeah, but an improvement on week one. And we're also mid-pack in the overall series after 2 rounds in 4th place as well.
OK, Alex's team is doing well. You know, so they finished second last week, which means they're currently leading the
league. Are they?
Yeah, they are.
Crikey, that's good. How about your team?
I'm glad you asked, huh? I don't want to boast, but my team, they only went and won, didn't they? First out of 13 teams in the very competitive B3 category, which puts them in second place overall, perfectly poised to ride over the overall series.
Mm. All down to you, I presume, Si?
I mean, not all. I'm sort of there on the sidelines. I think the last message I sent was about the danger of cows. but I tell you what, I'm impressed with the professionalism. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, my team's really into it.
Yeah, like they are properly, like, they've grabbed it by the horns.
My team's redoing the team time trial because they think they can do a better job second time around. Apparently you're allowed to do that. How's Ollie doing, do you know?
Ninth overall from 14th, I think. Yeah,
standard.
Well, mid-pack, technically.
Just below mid-pack, I'd say.
Yeah.
Right, one more reminder that you can join me on Zwift on Tuesday mornings at 9 a.m. and Thursday mornings at 11 a.m, both of those British summertime, for my training rides, for the upcoming World Gravel Champs. I've now got just under 2 weeks to go until the big day, so it's pretty intense this week, and then next week is the last one on the lead up to the World Championship, so it'll be slightly easier, and include an FTP test as well.
And then unfortunately for you, mate, when you finished doing your Zwift sessions in work time, it actually will get harder because you'll have to go back to work.
Yes.
On Tuesday and Thursday mornings.
Well, I probably need to do some more Zwifting for those hill climb times. Next up, it is hack/ /then, bodge of the week. You can get involved in this part of the show. You don't need that bit anymore, do you? globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader. This week's first one comes from AZ Eric from the Great North.
Which North?
We don't know. After burning my fingers on a frosty CO2 cartridge as it discharged, I came up with a cheap way to protect your fingers. Using old 23x25mm inner tubes, I cut to length and slid on. No more frosty cartridges. This also helps eliminate the annoying rattle that comes from your saddlebag as two or more cartridges rattle around.
There you go. Broadly speaking, I'm not a huge fan of CO2 cartridges.
Are you not?
Well, you know, obviously they're great, but it's quite a lot of wastage from them. A humble mini pump.
Do you know what? I really shouldn't say this now.
Go on.
I might have mentioned it before, actually, but since I started cycling a lot more again back in March time, I've not had a single puncture.
You shouldn't have said that.
If I puncture at a gravel race, I genuinely think I'd be there for about half an hour trying to fix it, because the last time I used a CO2 canister was probably in my mountain bike days in the late 90s.
I mean, they still, broadly speaking, are the same. Mm. Just tyre plugs. Get used to a tyre plug. Maybe we should do a video about how to use tyre plugs.
I've got some of them.
Yeah, but do you know how to use them?
No, but no. Lorraine found them in the washing machine the other day.
It's funny. I've got some in there as well.
Have you?
Not yours, my washing machine. Right, we're going to say for this one. I mean, it is a simple hack, isn't it?
Yes, it's a hack from me, for sure.
Although the nozzle of the cartridge gets quite cold as well, so it kind of doesn't solve all the problems, does it?
No, true. But once you've released it, surely you can just hold onto the canister.
So you normally have to press down on it, don't you? Anyway, should we say hack?
I'm saying hack, yeah.
Good, right, hack. Next one from Old Man Tricky. In readiness for this winter's Zwift training, I finally got around to building something better than the IKEA shelves I used last year. I had some, wait for this. 42mm galvanised pipe and key clamp components left over from a previous project. Intriguing. So I bought a few more, knocked this together for starters. The main vertical stand is secured to the floor and wall, and all the shelves are adjustable both up and down the stand, but also able to be moved further along the arms if necessary. In summer, when the bike gets hung on the wall, all the shelves can be swung to the right or moved up or down to get them out of the way.
You know what I did earlier on today was I looked at the picture without reading the description.
Yeah.
Again, standard. And it sounds a lot better now than it looks. I'm not saying it looks bad, actually, but the fact that you can swivel them and get them out of the way for extra storage when you no longer need to be Zwifting in the summer,
yeah,
I think is great.
I'm a big fan of key clamp.
Are you?
Aesthetically very pleasing, I think, key clamp. My own bike storage facility at home is made out of key clamp.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a hack. Tie in sight, Si.
Happy days.
This next one comes in from Bond, who said, I suddenly lost the ability to shift my cassette on the way to work. Pulled over to the side of the bike to investigate. Realised the gear cable had snapped. I was at a loss what to do.
Oh.
Pulled out my phone, found some inspiration from GCN and GMBN videos covering the topic.
Inspirational video from GMBN?
I was about to say, I expect the GCN one was far more helpful.
I was going to say.
As you can see from the video, I didn't pay very good attention. I pulled out the damaged cable, got it into one of the middle gears by pulling it tight and wrapping the cable around my rear rack. It got me to work and home in the afternoon. Lesson learnt, cables are a consumable that should be changed regularly.
I mean, basically, that's the biggest bodge you've ever seen. You said you watched a GCN video on the subject, and then
I think this must have been how GMBN did it.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yeah. I mean, if it got you to work, that's fine, but that's a fairly horrendous looking solution.
Fairly quick and basic description for podcast listeners, Si?
Well, I mean, there is a rear derailleur cable that is wrapped around the rear chainstays and pannier rack about 49,000 times before being tied in a crude knot. Mm. But the chain is in the middle of the cassette.
It is, yeah. So it looks like if you'd sort of taken a strimmer to the bike and the wire got caught around the frame, doesn't it?
Basically,
right,
yeah.
Bodge.
All right, Con sent this next one in. Spotted at Oldfield Park train station. Is that Bath?
Yep.
That's one of our local train stations. Brilliant. A sturdy deal. All right, Mr. Parking News from Zurich. Sturdy D-lock deployed to secure this old Kona. So for podcast listeners, here is a vintage mountain bike, securely locked to a pole.
It's quite a sturdy looking lock, isn't it?
The problem is the pole is about 4 foot high and the lock could simply be slipped over the top.
Yes.
So that is...
I mean, it does look...
Fundamentally a bit of a bodge.
It's fairly heavy. I mean, you might struggle, side, to get that bike over the top of that pole, but most of us would be fine.
Do you know what, right? I could tell you that Kona is from 1993, that mate. Because I had my first ever proper mountain bike was that same paint job, but mine was the lava dome, so it was one down. I believe that's a Cinder-cone.
Is it? My sister had a Cinder-cone.
Did she?
Yeah.
That's a good bike, that.
I did like it.
Go down to the station and liberate it. Needs a bit of TLC, don't it?
If you should see a series of videos on GCN Tech doing it up an old Kona, you'll know where it's come from. Right, well, that's obviously a bodge, isn't it? Because it could be stolen very easily.
Yeah, horrific bodge,
without
having
to pick the lock. Right, thanks for all your submissions. More this time next week.
It's time now for Caption Competition, that part of the show where you get a chance to get your hands on a coveted GCN Camelback water bottle. All you got to do is put a witty caption in the comment section down below that relates to a photo. We'll give you just one sec. But first, results from last week.
Last week's photo was this one of Gianni Moscon, who came close to crashing. We don't actually know if he came off his bike. But our winner this week is Short Wheels 360, who put, "There's a time and a place for single leg drills."
True.
Yeah, very true.
True fact, that. Yeah, I like that.
Is there a time and a place for single leg drills?
In the gym.
Is there a place for them?
The gym.
Yeah, very true, very true.
Not on a bicycle, we don't think.
Well done to the winner. I've lost his name already, sorry about that.
Short Wheels 360.
Short Wheels 360. Get in touch on Facebook with a message and your address. We'll get a bottle sent out too. This week's photo is already quite famous, or perhaps infamous, I think. This is Remco Evenepoel unusually throwing a tantrum at the World Road Race Championships in Rwanda. It's quite the kick, this, isn't it? But I will get you started. Have we got something to say first?
I didn't watch the World Champs this weekend, but I read about it, and apparently the mechanic said that there was nothing wrong with his bike.
Oh, well, he had hit a pothole in his first bike, and the saddle had genuinely tipped down, but then the second bike they measured, and it was exactly right to specification, so they were saying he didn't really need to change the second time, which is what we see here.
But he's having a little paddy.
He's having a little paddy.
I wonder whether the little paddy had more to do with it than the bicycle.
Mm. Does wear his heart on his sleeve, Remco, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Anyway,
we love him for it.
I will get you started. Short one this week, so.
Go on then, mate.
Water kick.
That is good, mate. Well done.
For those of you listening, Remco has kicked a bottle of water. That might go some way to explaining. And
it's quite a drop kick, though, isn't it?
Yeah, he looks quite flexible, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Background in football, obviously. Still got it.
Yeah.
Skills for days.
Nice.
We will shortly let you know what's coming up on GCN this week. But first up, a few comments from last week's videos. Starting with the GCN show, which was what separates the best from the rest in the world of professional cycling. Ehurmovic 526. I've really not done that very well, I don't think.
I think the 526 bit was right.
That was right, yeah. I think it's made up of five things. 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, and 50% pain. seems fairly accurate, doesn't it?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Well, depends what type of pain. Good pain or bad pain?
Well, it depends if you're winning or losing.
Exactly. All state of mind. Cherry Agana. Personally, I'm at the lower end when it comes to cycling genetics. Honestly, it kind of sucks to work 10 times as hard as others and not being able to keep up with them. That being said, I still love riding my bike and just trying to compete against myself. Competing against yourself is the secret, isn't it? Even if you're like Tadej Pogacar, pretty much, you can't ever control what other people are doing. So you can only ever compete against yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then just hope that you're good enough to beat other people.
Well, yeah, there is that. And unfortunately, we weren't as well.
Yeah.
Steve Moore 848. Oh, I've missed one out. Cologne IRPG. So, Dan, they sell eyebrow drawing pencils when your eyebrows aren't even.
Oh, this is a good point. We still haven't caught up about your eyebrow. Maybe now's not the time. Did you talk about it last week?
Yeah, I mentioned it in the company morning meeting. I thought I was on setting 5 for my monthly eyebrow trim, and it was on 0.5. A lot more hair landed in the shower tray than I was expecting. On one eyebrow.
Oh, that's absolutely amazing. That's genuinely one of the best things I've heard.
Right.
Oh, fantastic.
Steve Moore. So I would consider the zip tie lock a hack since it's a mid-ride fix that allows you to get you home. Well, I'll ask him.
I mean, that is true. It just depends whether or not your bike gets stolen, I guess, as a result of your zip ties. Mm.
They were sturdy. Quite
sturdy. Well, I mean, a sturdy zip tie, yeah. You might need a hefty pair of scissors to cut that one.
I think more than a pair of scissors.
Possibly.
Maybe not.
All right, and then the big video on GCN last week was the Silk Road bikepacking trip that Connor and Max from GCN en Francais undertook over the summer. And it was an absolute banger, wasn't it? We're pretty proud of that.
Really proud, yeah.
As in proud that we haven't done anything but are loosely associated with it. Yeah. But what an amazing video that is.
Yeah, so fantastic. And the comments were equally fantastic to read.
Yeah.
And we're proud about them as well. Starting with JFA 849, extraordinary production quality, going solo hasn't impaired GCN. This was a mega video. Asher Kitigs? Crikey, I'm really struggling with these. Sorry today. You can feel it at first glance. Maxime is such a good lad with a warm heart. I love his energy. He's like that all the time, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
On
and
off camera.
Yeah, brilliant.
I only turn it on for the camera.
Lux Wattage. That's a good name, that. What did I do to deserve this kind of premium content for free? This is definitely a full screen watch on the TV. Huge thanks, Team GCN. Yeah, if you haven't caught on to the fact that it is incredibly easy to get YouTube on your TV, then do it, because like films like that, it's the logical place for it.
If you need a roadside hack, then just watch it on your phone on the roadside. But if it's one of our better premium quality videos, then put it up on the TV.
Absolutely,
There's no way I'm getting this next username. We'll put it on the screen and you'll see why. GCN has set a new gold standard. Even the word epic is not enough for this grand adventure.
Yeah, and then lastly, forever growing. Wow, watching this for free feels illegal. Great work, Max and Connor. That looks brutal. So, top stuff all around. If you haven't seen it yet, watch it. And, it's a long one, so just sit back and enjoy.
Yeah.
Dan, before we get on to what's coming up on GCN, I wanted to just do...
Two seconds. Kwon Yong Dae, according to Google Translate, was the last commenter.
Oh, fair play, mate. Well done. I got sent this this week, which has made me chuckle immensely. So, I get like a lot of cow-related stuff. So there we go. My new cow T-shirt that says Born to Ride. Anyway, the letter was very nice. So Tony Shipway, thank you so much for this. He said, my wife and I have just wrapped up a fantastic week biking across Prince Edward Island in Canada. 300 Ks, great food, no traffic, and endless sunshine. Absolutely perfect. Along the way, we noticed that every major stop had an ice cream shop called Cows. Besides 70 Delicious Ice Cream, they were doing a brisk trade in cows-themed merchandise. And then he said, P.S., my wife suggested I iron the shirt before sending it, but I figured a few creases have never stopped you before. So, yes. I mean, that is perfectly accurate. So, thank you very much, Tony.
Are you putting it on now?
I thought I would, yeah.
Yeah, go for it. Right, what's coming up on the channel this week? We're starting on Thursday. You might remember Naomi and Rosa, who we were introducing to bike riding a few months ago. Enjoyed it. Well, Naomi's back for more. In fact, she's been trying clipless pedals out for the first time. At least she will have done by the time that video comes out on Thursday. And on Saturday, I can't wait for this one as well. What happens if a pro rider weighs 140 kilos?
That's right. The world's best climber, Andrew Feather, is going to double his body weight to see whether or not he can actually just get up climbs.
Aren't you trying it as well?
I'm also going to try it. I thought it was less of a headline, me struggling up a climb.
I think you're going to struggle to get on the bike.
Well, I mean, I've struggled to pick up the weight vest, which is only half of the additional bag. So there's a reason behind this, right? And that is that whenever we filmed with a muscle-bound person, so Giant the Gladiator, Jamie, and then also more recently the UK's Strongest Man, they were big, muscly lads, 130 kilos. And they both of them said, it's not surprising it's so hard riding up hills when you're this way. And they said, I bet you can't do it. So we went, all right, well, let's give it a go then. Yeah. So anyway, we're going to give it a try.
I think they might win their bet, but I'll wait to find out on Saturday. And on Sunday, you might remember last week I mentioned I was over in Girona and I competed, it's a loose term, in the Ciotta Girona gravel race there. So that's
you were there?
I was there, I was a man with a plan and I won't give too much away, you can probably guess.
I will need Coke and water at the finish, please. I'm absolutely f***ed.
And on Saturday, Ollie's been doing more epic rides, hasn't he? This time trying to ride up as many Tour de France mountains as he possibly can on a brand new bike.
In 24 hours. It's pretty brutal, that one. But yeah, that's going to be an absolute banger. Do make sure you check that one out. And then on Sunday, could it be called an epic ride, this one?
Yes.
Epic fail?
Yeah, could be. Well, I was over in Girona, I think I mentioned this last week, doing a gravel race there.
Back when you had eyebrows.
It's the last UCI World Series of the year. And I started with a big plan. And, I won't give too much away. You can probably guess, but hopefully it'll be worth watching the video regardless.
I think it will, mate. I think it will. You know, the Gravel World Champs were in Australia next year.
I did.
You've qualified for the wrong year, haven't you?
I know.
I mean, not that the Netherlands isn't nice, but...
Well, I shall probably carry on Zwifting during work time, just in case I get selected for next year's World Championships.
Ah, brilliant. All right, well, thank you, as always, for watching, and we will see you this time next week.